Blog Talk Radio. Blog Talk Radio.
Whether I'm right. Gotta be me, I gotta be me. What else can I be but what I am? I want to live, not merely survive. And I won't give up this dream of life that keeps me alive. I gotta be me, I gotta be me. The dream that I see makes me what I am. That faraway prize, a world of success, is waiting for me if I heed the call. Down, won't settle for less. As long as there's a chance that I can have it all, I'll go it alone. That's how it must be. I can't be right for somebody else if I'm not right for me. I gotta be free, I've gotta be free, daring to try to see win or die.
Assalamu alaikum and welcome back, brothers and sisters, friends and neighbors, enemies and opposers. Well, we don't welcome you, but we know you're there. Listen, we want to begin in the name of Allah, the Beneficent, the Merciful. We bear witness that there is no God but Allah and that Muhammad is his messenger. And we greet each of you, my dear beloved brothers and sisters, with the greetings of peace, which we say as Assalamu alaikum. This is What Must Be Done. I'm your grateful host, Brother Jamil Muhammad, and we're back again on another Sunday evening to talk more about what must be done before we act out what must be done in answer and reply to the call of our beloved brother, the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, who sits in the seat as the father over the house in the temporary absence of the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad, the eternal leader of the nation of Islam. Tonight, we are joined by some very special guests. We're going to introduce them to you in just a moment, but I would be remiss if I didn't remind you that we have with us tonight, as we have every week, our sister, who is the heart of what we do here. She is more than just a control board operator and a producer and a mastermind and a wizard and everything else good in radio. But she's also a good sister of ours in the Nation of Islam. We want to welcome her back to the microphone, our sister, Queen Aziza Mariam Muhammad. Queen, how are you this evening, and how are you feeling tonight?
All praises due to Allah. I am well by Allah's grace and permission. And thank you for that wonderful introduction, Brother Jamil. I'm actually shocked
and
embarrassed, but thank you.
No, we got to give credit where credit is due. One of the things that I'm hoping that our little program will contribute to in the Nation of Islam is the recognition of the gifts of Allah that are present within the minds and hearts of our believing brothers and sisters. And sometimes we don't even know that. Everybody knows certain high-profile, well-known names in the Nation of Islam. But if you look in the mosques and in the study groups around the nation, you'll find brothers and sisters who are brilliant and masters of the subject matter that they have given their attention to. And we're going to find out more about what I'm talking about with that regard on tonight. Let me just give some ground rules to all of our listeners. This is a potluck supper. This is a cookout. That means you can't just come in here and dine on the knowledge of our guests and don't bring a dish for us to sup on with you. So don't come in here, sit around, listen by the phone. I'm just going to lurk. Don't you dare lurk up in here. Come on and participate. Ask some questions, get some answers, and let's provide some guidance for a community sorely in need. So we're very happy to be here. Let me just set some more ground rules, if you don't mind, a little bit more housekeeping. The Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan is the immediate source of inspiration for this program. How so, you say? Well, Minister Farrakhan, during the year 2013 and stretching into 2014, gave to us a groundbreaking and news-making, really an earth-shaking series of lectures called The Time and What Must Be Done. During that series, Minister Farrakhan laid out an enormously clear, just abundantly clear, crystal clear delineation of the time, and told us what must be done. What we're on this program to do is to parse his words, to think with one another, and then to take step by step doing the things that need to be done, that in fact must be done, to answer the call of Minister Farrakhan to service for our nation and for our people. So we're very happy to be here tonight. Queen, tell me about these two brothers that we have with us tonight. We know that we've talked to them, but I want you to tell the folk who they are, and then we're going to get right into our subject matter because there's a lot we need to talk about.
Well, one of the brothers I happen to know very, very well, he is also one of our first hosts on our network, who used to host right here in this time slot with a show called No Romance Without Finance. And even though he's kind of bedazzled and went all over the place, and I think he was in Columbia, Maryland, but he might be in D.C. now. But one thing I do know is that he just made one of my beloved sisters one of the most happiest women in the world, because Brother Vernon and Sister Keisha Muhammad were just married on March the 29th. And so I was able to just watch all that unfold and prayed Brother Vernon and Sister Keisha across that broom. So I know we have Brother Vernon Muhammad with us. And we have a brother who I'm not so familiar with, Brother Torrance Muhammad out of Durham, North Carolina. But what I can say about both of these brothers is that they came from under the tutelage of Brother Steve Trader Fox, which is someone who I had the pleasure of meeting maybe a little over a year ago when he wanted to reach out to the brothers, and particularly in the Nation of Islam, and teach them about trade and commerce and what a great sacrifice that he made to make that happen. I know he's had several students under his belt, and these brothers are now, I think they're all graduated, and they may be official traders, but we'll hear more from them. So we have Brother Vernon Trader, what's your name, Trader Logical Muhammad, and then we got Brother Torrance Tradernomics Muhammad. So two experienced traders right here.
Peace and blessings.
Welcome, my dear brothers. Welcome, welcome. Assalamu alaikum to you, family. Welcome.
Wa alaikum salam, Brother Jamil.
Thank you so much for joining us, and really, Brother Vernon, interrupting your honeymoon to be with us. We appreciate that a great deal. And you say, no, my honeymoon was when I went to Jamaica for 2 weeks. No, bruh, Sister Keisha told me to tell you, your honeymoon is still going on. We'll talk
Praise
about that a little bit later. But listen. Brothers, welcome to the program tonight. We have a number of different angles from which we could question. And, you know, Sister Queen, this was one of the hardest shows to research. And the reason for that is because trade and commerce and the financial industry is almost inscrutably unknown to black people. Let me ask you, brothers, what is your view? And I'll ask this question of each of you. What is your view of the importance of trade, and how do you see it being expressed in the modern-day expression of the Nation of Islam? How important is that to us, and why? I'll start with you, Brother Torrance, and we'll come back to Brother Vernon.
Oh, yes, sir. Assalamu alaikum, family. Thank you for having me on such an important topic. Trade and commerce is vital. As we all know, in the Nation of Islam and some of, in the community, that we have 9 ministries in the nation, and trade and commerce is one of those ministries. So, you know, having a business background myself, coming from a real estate background and having my real estate license, I've always been intrigued and involved in economics in one way or the other. And it's very different in what we are generally taught or what we are generally exposed to in the black community. We are afraid in the black community of stocks, of getting into the market, because we hear so many negative things about the market, about gambling. And to be honest with you, it's a scare tactic, because it's the market that creates your millionaires. It's the market that creates your billionaires and your trillionaires. So we have to begin to open our minds up and to think broadly when it comes to trade and commerce, because if you think about it, there's not anything that you buy in America or around the world is a commodity. It has value. It has meaning to it. So you're either going to participate in the market, or you're going to be a consumer, or you're going to be an active participant in the market, meaning you're going to be participating in stocks and mutual funds in the market, in the broader market, or you're going to be a consumer. Either way, you want to choose which one you're going to be. Right now, black people and the majority of Americans are consumers. We're not actively participating in the market outside of giving our dollars, spending our resources. But we need to open up our minds, because anything in your house, when you look around, you see in it, it's being traded on the market. So we have to first open our mind up and get away from being scared, using these scare tactics on TV, these infomercials, because it's really is so important in trade and commerce, because that's how the world evolves. That's how the world and economics is ran, through the market. So I just wanted to open up with that, is that the first thing we have to do, as you alluded to earlier, is we have to change our mindset. And the Honorable mm-hmm. Minister Louis Farrakhan is definitely doing that right now with trade and commerce. So I know in the mosque I'm part of the trade and commerce. But when I became part of the trade and commerce, I asked myself, okay, I understand business. I have had a couple of business, but it's a little more detail-oriented than just being a business person. We have to understand the language. It's a whole new language when it comes to understanding the market. So we have to understand the language. We have to understand it's a whole different thought process in understanding the market. So once you become familiar with something, familiarity move away fear. Mm-hmm. Fear is only present when you are unfamiliar with something. So I would leave that right there and let Brother Vernon come in.
Brother Vernon, would you add to that, please, and then we'll get right into our topic.
Yes, sir, really, really quickly. What guides me through life is stuff I remember people saying that fits in the moment. I can remember and recall being in Philadelphia at the celebration of the Holy Day of Atonement, where the minister was saying, business is warfare. And then after that,
That's
he said,
right.
In case you didn't know it, we are at war. That stuck with me. You know, I can sparsely remember various other things that were said during that time, but that one rings out clear as day. And I can remember another time hearing him say that business is the activity of life. So again, the focus is being put on what we need to be about, not just what we need to talk about, but what we got to get active in doing. And then lastly, I remember him saying, again, we are at war, but he also added that, but first we must be raised in consciousness so that we can participate and play our part. So all those, to me, kind of put the focus on what we need to have the focus on, which is business, trade and commerce, and this type of exchange activity amongst ourselves and as far as we can take it. But we also need to engage ourselves in learning and preparing ourselves so that we can do the job and do it effectively.
Very, very key point. Learning and preparing ourselves is what we're all about tonight. You know, at 7 o'clock, we're headed toward a break in about 15 minutes, but we're still laying the preliminary groundwork. Sister Queen, I want you to give the instructions for our callers and chat room participants tonight. Then I want to come back to something else for you brothers. Then at the top of the hour, we have a short break. We'll read this evening's menu, because you know when you hear the dinner bell, it's time for the menu, and we all get together on Sunday evening and have a meal and talk it over. So in 15 minutes, we'll be preparing for that. But Sister Queen, could you give us the instructions for the callers and for the chat room participants?
Yes, sir. Okay, I want to first say that my Blog Talk chat room is open as well as my Gmail, but my Yahoo is acting up. So anyone who is listening via computer, if you want to chat, go to my Yahoo or come to my Blog Talk, my Gmail or my Blog Talk, because Yahoo is acting up. And those of you who are calling by telephone, please press one on your dial pad if you have a question or a comment for anyone on the panel. And we want to encourage you to participate and ask your questions. There's no such thing as a wrong question. We are here to serve and inform. Thank you, Brother Jamil.
Sure enough, thank you. I appreciate it. Just wanted to make sure we got that in, because tonight's topic, I think, will be a hot one for discussion, because if these brothers' points are to be correct, I heard Brother Torrance say that the markets are where fortunes are made. And I heard Brother Vernon say that we must qualify ourselves and learn not only the language but the activity of prosperity, both as individuals and as a nation. So anybody that's not prosperous enough, get on the phone, press number one, and get in the queue. If you don't have enough money, go in the chat room and ask some questions about how you can do what you need to do. Not get more problems, but definitely get more money. So we'll be talking about that tonight. Now, brothers, coming back to the question, I want to camel back on something that you said, Brother Vernon, about the qualification to learn the language of financial literacy. Is there a place where we can start? Some of us are so overwhelmed, brother. We work our jobs, and we work them 40, 45, sometimes 50 and more hours a week, yet we're just barely breaking even, hard for us to make our bills, living check to check. And now you're talking about becoming prosperous and building a nation. Is it too far of a psychological leap? And if not, how do we begin?
I don't think that it's too far of a leap. I think it's a sobering wake-up call and a dose of reality, really. You know, the starting point for any of us can and must be home economics, just you in your own pocket and how you run your home. You know, how can we do that and be effective? If we were a team, if you were really dependent on me, Brother Jamil, and Sister Gidget was dependent on me, and Brother Torrance was dependent on me, but I'm the type of brother that always bouncing checks and always have, you know, my accounts in the red, then I'm just not in trouble by myself. We all in trouble because you're dependent on me. I would be the weak link. So the best offering that I can do, the best chance that I have of getting ahead or making any kind of difference in that area is basic financial literacy, home economics, understanding that there are some things you can afford to do right now and there are some things you cannot afford to do right now. And don't ever blur those lines.
Okay. All right. Now, see, that's a great place to start, because black folks, and we'll get back to some of the statistics that I'm going to drop after the start of our dinner at 7 o'clock, but I tell you, the statistics are stark, Brother Torrance. the statistics that deal with the disparity between blacks and whites in America, and the statistics that deal with the fact that black folks lag behind every other ethnic group in the country, that in spite of us being next to and in close proximity to some of the greatest fortunes and most fabulous wealth on earth, we continue to have a nagging and dysfunctional poverty that is based on what Brother Vernon just said. Most of us are not aware of home economics and household finance, and those things become difficult for us, and we sometimes just throw up our hands and give up. What can we do if we know we're not the kind of person that Brother Vernon just described? If we have not been really wise about our finances, we've been wasteful, we've been profligate. We are the kind of people that bounce checks and buy two or three bags of number four hair from the Korean beauty salon instead of paying that part of our light bill. Then the light bill comes back next month, and we're rolling over, running an extension cord over to our neighbor's house and plugging it in by their barbecue pit. We just got to stop that, huh? What do we do, Brother Torrance? How do we make a start?
First, we have to be given the thought. We have to be given a thought, which we know is energy, is electricity, to spark the mind to look at what we're doing. For I can use myself as an example. As I was growing up and becoming familiar with businesses and getting into business, every time I went to a job or had a job, I would always think to myself, what can I do to free myself? Is this a business that I can do for myself? When I go to the grocery store, if I go to a hair place that's selling, a Korean store that's selling multiple different, they're not only selling hair, they're selling jeans, they're selling everything. So we must first open up our minds and be given the thought, because many of us don't even have the thought, the inclination to think outside of being a consumer. We don't have the thought to think of ourselves as being a producer. So first is knowing, okay, I'm not where I want to be, but I can humble myself and I can start asking questions. So we have to have the thought, number one. Someone has to put the thought out there. Somebody has to give us the literacy on what is going on and what we need to know. As Brother Vernon said, start at your home. Look at what's in your home. Number one, we can start by we all cook. We use sugar. And even though we don't know anything about the market, we participate in the market every day. For an example, in the market, you're dealing with prices. Well, we deal with prices in our community every day. When them gas prices go up, everybody starts complaining about the gas prices. When the milk prices go up, everybody starts complaining about the milk prices, so on and so forth. But the thought is, okay, there's a reason why prices are going up. There's a reason why I can't hardly afford to purchase milk. So we got to start changing our thinking first and foremost, and that's one thing that the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan does for us on the regular, is get to the root cause of our thinking. And right now we're in a study guide called Rising Above Emotion, getting into the thinking of God. So we know that God is force and power. So we have to begin to unleash the force and power with each and every one of us. We all have force and power, but if we have that force and power being misguided and misdirected against self, then we're like a state of inertia where someone can come
Go ahead. I'm going to submit to you tonight, my dear brother, that 95% of the audience is not where we should be financially, either in terms of amassing personal wealth or even creating the idea of responsibility that you mentioned is mentioned by and promoted by the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan. And that's very true. I understand that. But now what we need to do is talk to this audience tonight, because it must be done. Think about how unfortunate it would be to try to mount an effort at liberation while broke. Think about how unfortunate it would be if you do not take into account the past 2 weeks shows here on our program what must be done. When you think about being physically out of condition, mentally out of condition, unable to think of or envision purchasing swaths of property and establishing Muslim communities in the major cities of America like Detroit, as we had on week one. So tonight, brothers, we want to talk about that, and I want you to make it accessible. I don't want If you can do this for me, please do it. But let's talk about bringing it in from theory into practice. We want to be able to practice some steps of financial literacy after this show goes off tonight that we were not able to practice at 2 o'clock this afternoon. We want to know from our brother experts what we're doing. Sister, is there anything that you wanted to add, Sister Queen? I know that you're there, and we have some questions ourselves. I know I'm not where I should be financially. Shoot, I don't want to be broke as the laws of Moses no more. And you know that's broke. The laws of Moses is broke. Show nothing. But Sister Queen, is there anything you want to ask about?
Well, I wanted to ask Brother Vernon and Brother Torrance, for people who may not be familiar with the process of what it takes to become a trader. I know that you two actually were taught by Brother Steve Fox, but if someone is interested in becoming a trader, how would they do so?
I'm very excited about that, Sister Gidge. I'm glad you asked that, but I want to make sure I connect the dots to exactly what Brother Jamil asked also, and make sure that we leave this broadcast at least knowing what every individual who was listening can start to do right away. As far as a trader goes, everybody or most people have at one point or another heard the idea of investing. You need to invest. Maybe what we should do is invest. Everybody knows you put your money somewhere and you hope and or wait for it to grow and produce a return for you. That's an investor. That's making an investment in something. What a trader does, a trader gets back to the activity that takes place on a regular, consistent basis. So it's not necessarily about putting your money somewhere and waiting for a return that's going to come back if what you put your money into goes up in value, okay? A trader looks at that activity of life. A trader looks at business. A trader looks at markets that are actually global, worldwide, okay? We think about stock exchange in New York. There's over 139 markets, stock exchanges, public stock exchanges around the world, and 20 of them exist on the continent of Africa alone. So when you're sleeping somewhere on the other side of the world, there's the activity of life that's going on. Traders look at what's happening in those markets, whether the markets are going up, whether investments are increasing in value, and traders also look at markets that are going down and investments that are losing value, and traders find out how to profit no matter which direction the market is going. We find the trends in the market, and we position ourselves properly so that we can benefit from those trends. So the best way that I could recommend for someone to begin to learn the process of trading is to get in touch with Brother Steve Fox and the group that he started, which we call the Black Trading Gods. Brother Steve Fox developed what's called the Simple Trend System for market farmers, for farming the market, finding produce out of the market, okay? And he turned that into a 15-week system that he specifically dedicated 2013 to sharing with black people. He said he wanted to find 100 brothers and sisters in the nation that he can educate on this level so that we can in turn go out into the world and make good on that pledge from the Million Man March to enter into international trade and commerce and bring that back for the benefit of ourselves, our people, our families.
Wow. Wow, this is why you can't miss what must be done. You can't miss this program. It's the most important radio show that you can tune into at this hour on this night on this station. There's a lot of other good information, but tonight you can hear that our brothers have the information for us. Let me give you the information one more time before we go to our music break. We're talking to two wizards of finance. That's right, I said wizards of finance. Brother Vernon Muhammad of College Park, Maryland, and Brother Torrance Muhammad of the Mighty Mosque number 34 in Durham, North Carolina. They are representing Minister Farrakhan in more exciting ways than ever before. And like I said, we'll come back out of our music break back into the rest of our discussion as we get started with the menu. And Brother Vernon and Brother Torrance, y'all going to be able to stay for dinner with us. Ain't y'all going to have a bite with us?
Yes, sir.
Yes, indeed.
All right, brother. We'll pull up a chair. We're about ready to get started. Sister Queen, let's make sure everybody knows to press number one on the call queue to be heard on the air if you're on the phone. And, of course, if you're calling in or if you're in the chat room, don't go to the Yahoo chat room. It's acting up. But Gmail is fully functional. And let's go in the chat room and talk about how we can get some answers tonight on the air at What Must Be Done. Sister Queen, take it away.
I was a wizard of finance.
Yes, indeed. Yes, indeed. Everybody knows who that is, right? That's our friend, George. Woo! Time for the dinner bell. You heard the dinner bell. Pull up a chair, Brother Vernon, Brother Torrance. There you go right there, brother. Y'all comfortable at the table? Let's go on and get the menu started. Tonight's menu, right here at the table on what must be done. Of course, we always start out with some of Muhammad's bean soup. This time is specially spiced and added to it with that particular Chesapeake Bay flavor in honor of our brother Vernon, who's there with us tonight from the great state of Maryland. And we also have with us, and we're going to have tonight, Hoop House Garden Salad, because Hoop House Garden Salad tastes better and we know it's clean as a whistle. Tonight we'll be having our broiled salmon with Louisiana tempura spices on it. We always have that. It's very important for us to have that in there. We're going to follow that up with some curry vegetable stew. The curry vegetables are all mixed there together for us with the curry, and it's just really, really something. Sister Queen, you can smell that. Can't you smell that curry in the atmosphere? You smell it?
Ooh, absolutely. Yes. Absolutely.
Yeah. Yes. But we're not finished. We got roasted red quinoa tonight with pearl onions and the roasted red quinoa and some cauliflower medley. I love Angie. Little Angie's cauliflower medley. And for dessert, we have Negro Leader carrot cake. You know what that means, the Negro Leader carrot cake. Because it don't have no nuts at all, okay? And then, of course, we're going to finish up with some coffee. We got the Mexidus coffee, and we're going to have some Akbar punch on the side to drink. So everybody up to the table, let's go ahead. We've already had our prayer, so let's go ahead and start our dinner. Y'all all right, brothers? Go on and eat.
Yes, indeed.
Any questions?
Yes, sir.
Right,
yes, sir.
Okay, now, Brother Torrance, you ain't got to reach over that man like that. Don't reach over him like that. There's enough there. Like, hold on, brother. Hold on. Okay. Hold on.
Yes, sir.
But family, we want to continue to talk. Yeah, before the break, you did, of course, hear from Parliament, Funkadelic, our dear brothers, under the leadership of George Clinton. That was a selection called Wizard of Finance. If I were a wizard of finance, I thought it was a great one to spend tonight in honor of our brothers that are here. But now we're going to slide into some dinner conversation. And that dinner conversation is going to focus tonight on practical application of the sometimes intimidating financial world. How do we apply the financial principles that we need for our own prosperity, that of our families, our communities, and our nation in our own lives? Now, we left, Brother Vernon, you were talking about Brother Steve Fox dedicating 2013 to sharing these principles with black people. Brother Torrance, how have you seen that in your area in North Carolina, and how do you think the first steps can be taken toward us making our word our bond?
Well, of course, we, first of all, is through education and connecting with like minds. We have to, of course, close the gap between those who have an understanding of financing and those who don't, who may not have an understanding of trade and commerce. But in order to close that, I know here we have what is called business chain. We have a business chain meeting that we have with local businesses, hair salons, nail place, grocery store owners, and we have a lunch. We just had one last week where we come together and we share ideas and we introduce topics or things in the community that we would like to see. So we have to come together and start forming think tanks. That's one thing that the black community, we don't have. We don't have think tanks. We don't have think tanks that where we can come together as a unit and plot the course of where we want to go in the community, where we want to go economically. You know, we have, I know in North Carolina, we have the Mechanics Farmers Bank here in North Carolina. That's a black-owned bank. And I believe we only have maybe less than 100 black-owned banks throughout the country remaining. So we have to take a conscious thought, or we have to be conscious when we're doing business, start doing business with one another. Getting back as far as to the trade, we have to become consumers of knowledge, reading books, introducing books. I know when you come into the Black Trading Guards under Steve Fox, he gives you a format that we have to follow that begins to educate us in banking, in finance and in what has transpired in the world from 1929 when the first stock market crashed. So he brings us up through education. So it's through education that we begin to open up our mind and begin to understand the field in which we have to participate, because we have to participate in a system that is not ours. And that system that is not ours, even though it may have come from us from way back, but we have lost that knowledge. So we have to really become educated once again. But we're coming together, forming our own think tanks, and doing things in the community that will help.
Okay, very, very good. I love it. I love it. Now, I want to just ask this. Brother Vernon, would you want to add anything to what Brother Torrance just said about how we start what we're doing?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. I was hoping that I could at least add to that and tie that in with the question that you asked previously. You know, one of my favorite questions to ask at all is, okay, what are we going to do? I love to hear some of the wonderful aspects of the teaching, but, you know, it's got to come down to where the rubber meets the road. And I can recall one of the great former captains in our nation, Brother Captain Akil Muhammad out of Baltimore. One of the things that he said that was so practical for me when I was a young FOI, just made sense and it really stuck with me. He said, for every bill you have, you need to have a legitimate hustle for that bill. That's rubber meets the road. That's about as simple and plain as you can get. Okay, I know that in order to keep the light bill on, I need to sell a certain amount of bean pies per day. I know that in order to keep the car running smoothly, I got to do some odd jobs here and there. And, you know, that money and that activity has to go toward each one of those aspects. So I've been putting some thought into how each one of us can adopt that and make that real in our own lives. Like Brother Don said,
I'm glad to hear that.
Learn, get in where you can fit in. Find the area or avenue that's going to be for you, your lane, and make that your lane. Practical application. Here we go.
I like the way you quoted Brother Akil. Very important, Brother Akil, my captain actually, who you and I soldiered together for many years in Baltimore, and before every one of his comments, he would always say to us, "Look here." And then he would make his point, you know?
Yes, sir.
But I love that, brother, and it's excellent to hear him quoted on these airwaves. I'm going to take that interjection, and then we have some other announcements to make. Brother Torrance, you want to say something shortly, briefly, before we move ahead?
Yes, sir. Also, having mentors. We're used to hearing mentors, but when we normally hear mentors, we normally think about big brother, big sister mentoring. But we need to have mentors in the area and in the fields in which we – want to go into. We want to gain the knowledge of. So we always have to have mentors on our mind and to help us evolve into what we want to do.
So I can have my mind on my mentor on my mind. Is that what you're saying?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Okay. All right. We'll make sure I understand it. Now, and by the way, Brother Vernon, would you mind passing me that red cayenne pepper right there, please?
Sure thing, you go there, brother.
Thank you, my dear brother. I appreciate that. Sister Queen, do we have anybody? We have folks on the line. The lines are lit up. The chat room is active. But who would you like to go to first? What question do we have? Let me know the caller, where they're calling from. We just want to welcome you to What Must Be Done.
Well, the first caller that I have is a brother who has no name. He has a number, and it's 16, and he's calling from Tampa, Florida.
my brother, student minister James Muhammad from Tampa, Florida. Let me just tell you briefly, brothers, all the regular listeners to this program know why we lovingly call our brother 16. During his years at Mosque No. 7 in New York City, where he established himself as one of the great teachers of Islam, and particularly with the rostrum protocol of bringing the word to our people in such a way that they could neither misunderstand nor resist. And he's here with us tonight on the air, Brother James Muhammad. We lovingly call him 16. 16, can you hear me tonight, brother?
Yes, sir, Brother Jamil. All praise is due to Allah and Sister Queen Aziza Mariam Muhammad and your esteemed guest, Brother Vernon and Brother Torin. I'm very happy to greet all of you. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam.
Wa alaikum salam, sir.
And I must confess, while the information shared on this most relevant show, Brother Jamil, I mean, it's fantastic and invaluable. But I must confess that I tune in to listen to the bill of fare, the menu, so that I can share with Sister Joanne what I'd like to see on the dinner table next week. And the wonderful music. All praises due to Allah.
When you come by the house, you got to have a good time. While you're talking and planning the revolution, you got to have a good time, brother. And that's what we're dedicated to here. Share with us tonight, Brother Minister, what did you think of our guest opening statements? And are there questions in the congregation that you serve about how the information that our guests have can be used for their benefit?
Yes, as a matter of fact, there is. I'd like to point to a statement made by the Honorable Elijah Muhammad regarding our pursuit of solutions to problems and answers to problems. He said, we can't go to branch knowledge. We must go to root knowledge. And therefore, we must understand the origin of these behaviors, these negative, self-destructive, stagnating behaviors on the part of black people. Because it appears to be, and in fact, statistically is, generational. How did we get this way? Particularly when we had such a promising start after the Emancipation Proclamation with the establishment of Black Wall Street number one and the 60 towns, black towns that we set up. Of course, Jim Crow destroyed that. But what happened to us that we became a consumer nation? And, in fact, the malady is generational, generational. Now, I can't get in. I don't want to take all the time. I just want to point our listening audience to Part 32 of The Time and What Must Be Done. And specifically that question posed by the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan in the concluding third part of the Savior's Day message, wherein the Muhammad Economic Blueprint was reintroduced. How did blacks become a consumer nation? And so I just want to recommend that we go to the root cause as to why. As soon as money comes in our hands, rather than trying to organize our ability to invest for future progress, we spent it right away. There's a reason for that, and a very logical reason for that, however damaging it was. So once again, that's Part 32 of The Time and What Must Be Done. But
yes, sir.
Magnificent information that goes directly to the reason. You know, brother, as I close my statement, there's a wonderful documentary. It could be called science fiction, but I believe it's more fact than fiction. And it has a very funny name. It's titled, What the Bleep Do We Know? And one of the most fantastic points of information that was shared with those who viewed this documentary was how thought patterns are set up and how thought patterns actually produce what you call receptor cells. And these are cells with a certain proclivity and predisposition and propensity to form people in a certain way, give them their genetic disposition, These receptor cells are, as a result, of patterns of thought. Patterns of thought. They actually have little receptors on them that cause the cell to reproduce after its own kind, which means if you think a certain way over a period of time, then you begin to act according to the thought. And the thoughts actually produce cells that reproduce after the thought pattern. Now, that is fantastic.
Yes, indeed.
And the beauty of it is, as I close, is they pose the question, well, how do you destroy these receptor cells? How do you prevent them from reproducing if they're negative? Just think, the answer was, a different thought. A different thought. And they actually illustrated it very graphically. I mean, wisdom is everywhere, Brother Jamil, everywhere.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And so, again, brothers and sisters, go to and listeners of all persuasion of this magnificent show, go to part 32 of The Time and What Must Be Done, entitled, of course, it's The Economic Blueprint, but the third part, its theme was, and is, how blacks became a consumer nation. Thank you, brother. And, let's get on
brother,
with Jamil. Go ahead, brother. Yes, sir.
May I suggest something, Brother James, as a companion document to that, the book How White Folks Got So Rich.
Absolutely.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Absolutely.
Yes, sir. How White Folks Got So Rich. These books actually historically document. I want to thank Brother James for his comments tonight. And Brother James, hang on the line with us. Please don't go. Sister Aziza, let his line stay open, Sister Queen. But I want to make sure that we reference the Nation of Islam Research Department.
Yeah,
that's right.
That research department is one of the strongest engines for truth I've ever seen or heard of. And the books that chronicle the way that our enemies entered the financial market, dominated it, and use it against us to this very day to create the kinds of colonies of receptor cells based on negative ideas and wrong concepts and bad, bad thoughts.
That's
we've
right.
got a chance to create a new thought tonight. And like Brother Vernon said, what we going to do? Like Brother Akil said, look here.
Yes,
every hustle, every hustle, every bill you got, you should have a separate stream of income and a separate
That's
hustle
right.
for that particular
That's beautiful.
Bill. And don't knock the word hustle.
That's right.
Don't
That's right.
thinking we're talking about some criminal activity. Hustle just means getting it, pushing,
That's right.
driving, and creating the kind of opportunities for yourself. You know, I don't believe in no good luck.
That's
you know,
right.
I remember Brother James, the Reverend Frederick J. Eichren Coder. Anybody
yes.
ever heard of him?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Better known to many as Reverend Ike.
Reverend Ike, yes.
And Reverend Ike would talk about good luck. He would say, send away for my good luck coin, call 1-800-222-LUCK.
Mm-hmm.
But you see, luck is not a happenstance, spooky thing. Luck is
no,
an
sir.
Acronym, the way I look at it. It just means laboring under correct knowledge.
Go ahead,
L-U-C-K. Let's labor, but labor under the correct knowledge so that we will not be doing back-breaking, excruciating, difficult, menial labor and profiting the world of someone else, but rather let's work smart and hard and prove that our success, brothers and sisters, is not an accident, but it is the result of sincere prayer, careful planning,
That's right.
Sincere
That's
prayer,
right.
careful planning, and hard work. Thank you, Brother James. Don't go anywhere. Sister Queen, I know we've got some more calls. The chat room is alive. Talk to me. Let me know what's happening and who's next question for our guest.
Well, we're going to talk to my dear brother from St. Louis, Missouri, even though he may be anywhere in the country right now. Assalamu alaikum, Brother Gene.
Well, alaikum salam. How are you, Sister Queen, and the listening audience?
Yes, sir. Doing fine, my brother.
Glad to be a brother. I'll pray for Sister Allah.
Yes, ma'am. I just wanted to share with the listening audience and the panel. You know, you're mentioning some great terminology. You know, we're talking about trade and commerce. And I always remember one thing the minister said, and Brother Jamil, I think he was on the stage with him back in 1995. He said, first thing that we need to do, every home needs a balanced budget. Let's not go out and spend more than we can.
Right.
And he said that, and that has stuck with me for a very long time, and it'll go to my grave with me. Secondly, we've got to be willing to sacrifice.
Yes, sir.
We've got to pick time out in our life that this is going to be a year, 6 months, 90 days of total sacrifice in order for us to get to the next level. And third but not least, you know, the question is, how do we get this way as a people? Well, there's been a processing mentality going on. We have to get out of the processing mentality and become creators. Like the brother was saying, when he's out and about, he looks at everything and see how we can create something out of what we're looking at. And I just
brother
wanted
Gene,
to share that with the list. Yes, sir.
Brother Gene, don't go. This is Brother Jamil. I wanted to ask you, brother, first, thanks for coming on the show tonight, and thanks for your participation. Tell us the difference between a processing thought and a creative thought. I want to just make that distinction clear.
A processing thought is something that's the norm, that we adapt to, which is the norm. So it becomes a processing thought. You know, this is how this has been done for so many, you know, this time period, this is how it's done, because this is all we've seen. You know, growing up, you know, we've seen our parents, you know, just get money and they spend it. That, to me, is a processing mentality. A creative mentality is we come directly from the creator. So let's go out and learn how to create things and create, have a creative mind on how we can create things. I don't want to say nothing, but everything, you know, out here that we look at, it's money involved. It's finances involved. Things that we throw away, you know, in the trash, you know. They're recycling everywhere. Allah God recycles everything. I mean, there's money being made off things, trash, things that we just throw in the trash that we feel has no value. And that's what I mean by processing versus creating mentality.
Excellent point. Thank you. Thank you so much, Brother Gene. Brother Vernon, Brother Torrance, anything you wanted to add to that? Anything that raises up in your mind to answer?
Yes, sir, brother. I'll go ahead. You may have heard a witness, because the brother was speaking my language, you know, where that rubber meets the road. If we can't get it in our heads and get it into practice on the home front, home economics, basic personal financial literacy, then the big and grandiose ideas that we have that we want to implement, we'll never be in position to do that. And I don't know about you, but, you know, look at how many keys we trying to turn to unlock the poison and rusty locks, how many miles we trying to traverse back and forth. I don't want to wait 3, 4, 22 more generations to do this. You know, we got a lot of miles to go and a little bit of time to do it. So I love the idea of putting the boots on the ground. I love the idea of bringing it right on home and starting where we all need to start, personal financial literacy and home economics.
That is exactly it. And I don't think that contradicts what Brother Torrance was saying, but he started our program talking about the worldwide markets. You made
right.
reference to the worldwide markets as well, and how even while we're sleeping, the activity of life is going on in the opposite hemisphere around the globe. Let me just ask you all, how in the estimation of our panelists, and Brother Gene, feel free to chime in on this as well as Sister Queen, what is the appropriate participation in the markets of the world if you're looking at a black household with a negative net worth? And the reason why I asked that question is that we saw cited in the Final Call newspaper just recently that according to the National Urban League, the average wealth of a white household is $265,000. That's the average net worth of a white household in America. The average net worth of a black household is $28,500. That's a gap in average net worth of $236,500. That is a significant gap in the net worth and value of the possessions and held documents and every other financial instrument held by black households vis-a-vis white households. What do we do and where do we start when it comes to that? And anybody who would like to answer that question, go right ahead.
Yes, sir. I'll go ahead with that one. Well, the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan with the blueprint is a primary example. Even with what we're doing with Brother Vernon and I, what we're doing, we don't, all of us who are training or who have come through the class to become traders, we all don't have money independently to, some of us do, but we don't have it to the degree in which we need. So what we have decided to do, we have decided as we come through the program, as we learn to trade, to pool our resources together. So when you begin pooling your resources together, your $5, your $100, your $500, your $1,000, just think about it. It don't take 100 people with $1,000. That's a significant amount of money. Then you have where you can then begin to invest. You create hedge funds. So you wanna be a supplier of coffee in your community. Okay, we buy a contract or a few contracts of coffee, and then we can take half of that contract of that coffee, warehouse it, and then we can become the wholesaler to the coffee companies in our area. And then we can continue to trade the other half. So one way that we're going to have to move is our unity. Without the unity, we won't be able to make it happen in our communities without us coming together in unity, unless we
Excellent.
Have an athlete or something like that that's just going to be benevolent and
mm-hmm.
still invest in Africa and starting schools in Africa.
What?
They're going to turn around and invest in right here in their own communities.
Well, that's something that has to happen, brother. We'll be talking about that on subsequent shows.
Yes, sir.
I wanted to tell you, tonight we're going back to the callers. There are a lot of callers in queue. There are a lot of folks in the chat room. Sister Queen, please don't let us neglect them because our conversation is rolling on right up. Say what, brother? Brother Vernon, pass you the Aguar punch. Okay, here, just pass that down the table, brother. You need some more ice in there, Brother Vernon? You all right?
A little bit.
All right. We can take them, put a little ice in. Now, Sister Queen, let's go back to the callers in queue and back to that.
Okay, we have a caller from Maryland, from the great state of Maryland. Area code, I'm sorry, last four numbers, 5976.
Assalamu alaikum.
Assalamu alaikum, sir.
This is Brother Chance Hall, and I'm really happy to be on the show tonight and hear Brother Vernon and Brother Jamil. Those are two brothers. I met Brother Vernon about a few months back. I've known Brother Jamil a long time. He might not remember who I am.
20-something years now, brother.
I was calling you, and I'm glad to hear we're on this subject. This is a very important subject because this subject right here is the result of our prayers, okay? When we get up to make our prayer, we seek refuge. And when we seek refuge, we're seeking refuge to have this trade and commerce thing so we can be out of debt, right? So this is a very important thing. We go and do it every day, all day, and at some point in the day we make our prayer so that we can continue to do it the right way. I just wanted to say thank you for having the program because this is very important. We need to really talk about it all every day, you know, because this is what's going
yes,
to
sir.
Really make a nation for us. I wanted to hit on the economic program because the economic program is what engulfs trade and commerce. And this is, I think, the brothers, everybody here, we it's like-minded because y'all hit on everything that I was thinking about. And that is, you were talking about unity, we were talking about trade, and we were talking about investment. I mean, everything that you all are talking about is like, I want to be in the room with y'all doing these things, you know what I mean, together, you know? So, but I wanted to also mention the economic program and have us understand or at least open our eyes to or become more aware of an economic program that we're in the midst of developing. It's supposed to go into being an economic system where, you know, we are creating wealth, you know what I mean? And when we create wealth, we're creating wealth for individuals, thus creating wealth for institutions that we run, you know what I mean? So, and in the process of doing all of that, we have to have unity is one of them, and we have to have accountability and transparency. We need to think over those things as we start to develop in our economic program and our economic system, you know what I mean? And that unity element is so important because in the past, over the past 15 years, I've been in Baltimore and D.C. and Baltimore. And in Baltimore, I was able to, I had the opportunity to get into the real estate market, and I was able to buy homes in Baltimore as an investment. And I was able to eventually sell those homes at a profit. I really didn't want to sell those homes to the people I sold those homes to because it was going right. I bought them from somebody. I bought them from a Jew. He had thousands of them. I happened to buy 10. I bought 10. And then I was going to, I used them as rental properties, and then it was my goal to really be able to sell these to a family, a black family or a family in the Nation of Islam that would be able to need a home and things of that nature. So my point is that the economic system part, the networking and unity part, I had to end up selling the property. And when I sold the property, I only sold that property to one of us. And all the rest of them I had to sell back to a Jew, I had to sell to an Arab. And you see what I'm getting at? You know, there was no network.
Wow.
There was no economic system by which I could trade this in to my own and keep it in within our own economic cycle. You know what I mean? That we can grow become wealthy, right, together.
Well, now, brother, what I wanted to add, first off, thank you for that extensive look into what we are talking about tonight from a practical perspective. And if you all are familiar, some of our listeners may not be familiar with Baltimore, but it's very similar to many other major American cities in the shifting populations, leaving great opportunities for us. And Sister Queen will tell you later how you can access the archive on our program that we did about Detroit and real estate and how important it is that we begin to think as a unified team. So I think we're getting closer to all being on the same page and really even being in the same paragraph. But I want to ask a question. Is my brother James 16 still on the line? I need to ask him one brief question about ministry and how we serve our communities. Are you still there, brother, Mr. James?
Yes, sir. I'm here. I'm not going anywhere, brother. I'm not yet full.
Yes, sir. But I do have, I regret to inform you that there is no more cauliflower medley. When we passed
brother.
It by a certain sister's, she took all the vegetables, brother. I'm just saying, you know.
Yes,
so. I'm a vegan. Y'all got the meat. I got the vegetables.
Okay, that's how it goes. That's how it goes.
I'm with you,
Steve. Brother James, quick question. On the question of the economic blueprint, the economic program, the various different things that Brother Chance Hall is calling us to, and reminding us about the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan. I gotta remind y'all now, I'm going to gently say it. Y'all know we with him, so we got to say his name right. It's Farrakhan. Make sure we say
that's
it that
right.
way.
That's
listen,
right.
But listen, brothers, here tonight, we got a challenge, Brother James, because as much as we talk about the need for financial literacy, we got a gulf because for many of us, even registered Muslims, it is difficult for us to perceive of paying $18.20 a year, excuse me, which is only a nickel a day or 35 cents a week. How can we begin to change those receptor cells, put in that new idea? What can we do, as Brother Vernon said, what are we going to do?
Well, dear brother, the first thing that we must realize as Muslims, everyone and everything in the nation came from outside the nation. And since it came from outside the nation, the tangential and part and parcel effects of what we were outside of the nation, we brought inside of the nation. And the registration of an X or a holy name is not synonymous with eradicating those things out of our mindset. Now, the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan said very beautifully again in the before-mentioned part of the time and what must be done. He said many Muslims consider themselves God-centered, but we're living from week to week.
That's right.
What
That's
we
right.
have to
and
understand.
So,
go ahead, Brother
Yes,
Jimmy.
Sir.
Yes, sir.
No. I wanted to, not to interject into your response, because I love having guests of the Queen and participants, and really, like Brother James and others, who speak in paragraphs and speak whole ideas. I want to make sure that we give you time to develop your whole ideas. But as you just said, Brother, if we're living week to week, we cannot contribute as effectively to the goals and aspirations that we claim for ourselves and our families. And I think that's a very important point that we note. I think we can all agree on that. Brother Vernon, do you agree with Brother James 16 on that?
No doubt about it. No doubt about it.
Yes. And what about you, Brother Torn? Do you agree with that? Brother Torrance is there. I know he's down the other end. Yes, sir, we all agree. Now, Brother James, if you could continue with us and just sort of bring that idea, because I want to hear the fruition of that idea. It's a very important concept.
Well, let me just say, as we are time conscious, you know, the solution to it is having brothers like Brother Vernon and Brother Torrance who have grown into another level of representation of the program and message of the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad, where actual practice of deep principles are shared in a very simplistic and uncomplex way, where the average person can actually practice these things. Brother Vernon, I think, oh, Brother Torrance, I'm sorry if I'm mixing you up in terms of what you all said, but you said the statement, where the rubber, rather, meets the road. I think what you shared with us about Brother Captain Akil, having a hustle for every bill. See, these are very simplistic terms that we can understand. Now, what we've got to deal with is what is militating against the actual practice.
That's the actual
implication.
Mm-hmm.
Here again, we have to go back to the root of why we are the way we are. Because if we don't address it, if we don't get to where it came from and why we continue it, remember, Willie Lynch said that if they put the plantation owners he was addressing, if they would implement into practice his plan, he said it would become self-reproducing, self-sustaining.
Yes, sir.
Mm-hmm. And this is what happened. This is what we are witnessing. Those
Yes, sir.
Principles of indoctrination that caused us to be by falsehood, and by slavery in terms of the brutality that we
mm-hmm.
suffered. So the combination of those two things has caused the byproduct that we are witnessing in our behavior, particularly financially. Why do we stand
right.
like that? When you have a set of laws, I'm going to close right now, Brother Jamil. When you have a set of laws that have criminalized blacks,
criminalize blacks. Okay, so that's me and my whole family.
You criminalize blacks having money, investing money. That's a heavy thing, man.
It is. And it contributes to the household worth and that discrepancy of $236,500 between the average household of whites and blacks. And we're going to come back out of break, and we're going to talk a little bit about how the presence or absence of wealth or a plan to achieve wealth for households in terms of basic home economics, Brother Vernon, how does that affect our relationships amongst ourselves? How do we deal with those questions as they affect our communities? And as Minister Farrakhan pointed out to us in week 176 of the Friday night study group, just the night before last, he said that our condition is hellish in our families, in our communities, and in our nation because the condition of our marriages is hellish too. We're going to come back out of break and talk about whether our financial condition affects our domestic stability. Sister Queen, if you're sitting at the ones and twos, go ahead and take it away, and we'll be back on what must be done in just a moment after this break.
In the context of where we need to be Islamically, and I love every time I hear from my brother,
Brother James Muhammad. He is our student minister in Tampa, Florida, and assists Minister Rasul throughout that 7th region and does a fine job at it. Tonight, we're talking about the subject matter of trading, finance, business, and how to create a home economy with a balanced budget for you and your family. So everybody listening, grab your pen and paper and write it down, because at the end of our show tonight, in a scant few minutes, we only have about another 40 minutes to be on the air because time just flies when you're having fun. But I want to ask you, if you wouldn't mind, keep your pen and paper handy, because each of our panelists, Brother Vernon and Brother Torrance, is going to give you three things that you need to do right in your household. Each of them is going to give you three things that you need to do. And if there's duplication in their lists, that's because that point is doubly important. So we'll be back discuss that in the post hour. Yes, yes, go right ahead, Brother Vernon.
You know that's my favorite part of the show, right?
What we going to do? That's the main thing. Now, we got one thing we're going to do right now. We're going to go to the phones. New York has been on hold for a long time. Sister Queen, can we raise our caller from New York? Let's be on the air. Tell us the name and where you're calling from in New York, and welcome to What Must Be Done.
Hey, good evening, Sister Aziza Muhammad. This is Brother Garfield Reed. You post on my page every day, and I've always listened, but I've never called in and talked. I just wanted to
So good to hear from you, Brother Garfield.
Oh, I'm sorry. You know what? I actually grew up in the mosque a little bit, and I didn't even greet you guys correctly. Assalamu alaikum. All right. I have a couple of questions, all right? And I wanted to ask, because I'm a financial consultant, what role does credit play in as far as trading and investing and so forth? That's the first question. The second question is, if I've been a part of the Nation of Islam as far as people around me, and I was actually in FOI class for a minute, and I have a question. If I love the blueprint, when I read Message to the Black Man, I actually used that blueprint while I was in college to raise funds. I used some of the ideas from the messenger. And I'm wondering, with such a wonderful plan and black folks in general not paying heed, we have tried, I've heard Minister Farrakhan say this many times, we have tried everybody else's plan, but we have never really tried the blueprint. And I have my own radio show, and I say to people all the time, I said, this plan is the easiest plan. People can't give 35 cents. I mean, what is so hard for black folks to understand that this guy's putting his life on the line for us for so many years, and we can't basically just follow a simple plan so that we could have our own, pretty much our own. So if all else fails and folks refuse to follow the plan, what is the next option, or is there an option as far as what the messenger taught? And my last question, I'm sorry, brothers, is with credit repair and with the option, because this is what I offer people on my radio show on Wednesdays, as I offer them credit repair, I also offer them credit score boosting services, and I offer them funding because I have an underwriting network. So with all that said and done, I do have a plan in place for folks. If folks don't want to do the 35 cents plan, I do have an option for, because this is my dream. My dream is to have a million small business owners getting funding. Because a million people getting $150,000 or more is almost like, that's almost $2 billion. And I'm saying, if the option of folks don't want to do what they should do, what does the nation do then if people don't want to heed? Because I understand the members within the nation will do it. I will give money anytime. I'll go to the mosque and just give money and say, oh, I can't stay today, and I'll just give funds. You have people that do that all the time. But what about the masses of people? Do you think that an example of what the unity will do is better than just saying, hey, do this or join this program, or should we just keep promoting it? Go ahead, my brother. I'll sit back and listen.
No, you're a host. You know how this works. I wanted to break up your question and recap it so that our panelists could address it. Number one, what does credit have to do with trading, financial markets? Number two, how do we, if I'm recapping it correctly, how do we engender support for the economic blueprint at 35 cents a week among black people who don't really have any initiative behind them thus far to do that? Thirdly, is there another plan in addition to the economic blueprint, like the plan that you have to fund at $150,000 or more, a million businesses, small businesses in black America? Is that pretty much a recap of the chapter?
Oh, your memory is extremely good, my brother. Yes, sir.
Okay. Yes, sir, your point. But we appreciate it. Now let's go right to our panelists. And Brother Garfield, hang on the line. And we'll be going to our next callers and back to the chat room in just a moment. We wanted to make sure we focus on getting some answers for you. Go right
ahead. Yes, sir.
Brother Ernie, you want to go first? Or
I'll defer to Brother Torrance if he wants to.
Well, and Brother Vernon can back me up on this one as far as credit is concerned when it comes to trading. You know, it's very interesting because as you come into the class and you learn about trading and all of that, you'll learn that it's not as much, credit is not as important in trading because they have mechanisms in place where you begin to execute what you have learned, and based off of your execution of what you have learned, meaning how well you're doing, you can get funding. That's the interesting thing about it. Now, I'm sure for those who may not understand that, credit is always at play. If you don't have that understanding or that knowledge and know how the game is played, so credit is always good. We know we always need credit, and so I would say that on that. Now, as far as point number two, the blueprint economic plan, and the 35 cent. You know, I've always asked myself, you know, what is it and why is it that it's so hard for us to come together to unite? And, you know, the difficult factor is that we have not done our job. To me, we have not done the job that we were given when we wrote our letters in the nation. We haven't gotten the word out like we should have. Even with Minister going all over the country year in and year out, there are still some who don't even know him. You run into young brothers, I run into young brothers on the street, never read the final call, don't know the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan. So now we're dealing with a whole new generation that has been dumbed down by the enemy who don't even know anything about the Million Man March. So our job is always having to evolve, just as the devil evolves in his tricks and his machinations and keeping us down, we have to evolve the message. And the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan is an excellent evolver of the message to deal with the time. So,
all right,
that's
now
what
let me throw to Brother Vernon. Let me throw to Brother Vernon right now. Brother Vernon, how would you answer those three questions?
I'll just add on real quick. As it relates to credit and funding, Brother touched on something that's very critical. With small businesses, particularly small black businesses, the number one threat to our survival, to the survival of the small black entrepreneur, is funding, getting adequate funding or funding at all. If you're not in a position where you have that in your pocket, obviously you have to go somewhere and get that. Now, I'm never going to, you know, turn down money that comes to me from a good source, because you always can use that to further your aim and your intention. You know, and I stress the part about a good source, because some people have money with strings attached, so you always want to be mindful of that. But after the problem of funding is solved and credit falls right in there, if you don't have it in your pocket, obviously you have to go on your word and your intention. But that word and that intention as it relates to business is about a plan. After we get the funding or the possibility of funding, or before you get the possibility of funding in place, you got to have a solid plan for what you're going to do and how you're going to make that money grow. Otherwise, you're in a situation where somebody's about to lose some money, and you don't want to be in that situation.
Very good. Now, I wanted to interject this, brothers and sisters. You're listening to What Must Be Done I'm Brother Jamil Muhammad. I'm your host, and I'm very grateful to be here with you at the table every Sunday night. Brother James, if you don't mind, would you help me gather these coffee cups? And I want to thank you for volunteering again to help me with these dishes tonight, brother. Every week I appreciate you volunteering to help me with the dishes after the Sunday dinner. I appreciate that, brother. Yeah.
Oh, well, certainly, mm-hmm. brother, after such a sumptuous meal, I mean, that's the mm-hmm. least I can do.
Well, brother, all praise is due to Allah. Wait till next week. We're coming out with something. I'm not going to give away the whole menu, but I do want to say the words graham cracker crust. That's all I want to say about next week.
Yes.
Now, dear brothers and sisters, but we're moving toward a conclusion for our program tonight, and I want to add something from the Honorable Elijah Muhammad about credit that I learned as the head of a mosque. And Brother James, this question will deflect, of course, to you as well. And I want to be very brief, brothers, but I want to remind you that Minister Farrakhan told us that the Honorable Elijah Muhammad is not a fan of credit per se, that he prefers when institutions like the mosques or the Nation of Islam itself as a national entity, when we move to acquire real property or other property that we can acquire, we move to do that in cash. For example, when we secured the mosque on Stony Island Avenue the first time in 1972 and 73, we did that cash as a result of a loan from our brother Muammar Gaddafi. May Allah be pleased with him, forgive his sins, and grant him paradise. But brother Muammar Gaddafi lent us that money, and we repaid him in full. And then he lent us $5 million again to do the power products. We repaid that money. When you look at what we do in cash, when we went to repurchase the National Center in Chicago, we did that in cash. When we went down to the farm in Bronwood, Georgia, to purchase the nearly 2,000 acres that's under cultivation there right now as we speak, we did that first with a huge cash down payment. And when we came back, the man thought he was about to repossess the farm from us because we were going to tell him that we couldn't afford the rest of it. We clicked both sides of the briefcase and pulled out some cash money and
that's
took
right.
possession of the farm again. So, Brother James, is there, in your view, along with what the brothers are advising, because these are the wizards of finance, there's no doubt about it, what they're advising in answer to Brother Garfield's question is that credit has its place, and I understand that. But I do want to encourage us, and Brother James, if you could sort of bear witness with me or help me if I'm right, we want to stay away from the usurious hand of interest, because our enemies have used interest and financial trickery to enslave most of the population of the entire world. And at the same time, we want to stay as liquid and lean as we can, even if we are forced to use credit in some instances. Is that correct, Brother Jay?
That's absolutely correct. Credit, in its positive sense, is you make your word bond. But that's the extent of its positivity. All debt is slavery or potentially such.
That's right.
We should stay away from credit completely if we can, except for that most important aspect of it, making our word bond. But to all, you see, look, brother, I'll say this, man. The enemy has instituted something, a financial concept that is absolutely criminal and illegal, and that's called compound interest.
Interest, that's right.
Compound,
mm-hmm.
not just interest, but compound interest. And I'm sure
yeah.
Brother Vernon and Brother Torrin can explain the difference. And that makes all debt slavery or potentially so. And I'll close
yes.
there. Thank you.
We're going to come back to that. Now we're opening up some stuff. So that means you're going to need to make sure, along with the 3 points that each of our traders tonight are going to give to you about your own home economy and a balanced budget for your household and sacrificing and having vision for the future, they're also going to give their contact information at about 20 minutes after. So I want to make sure that in 16 minutes you're ready. How many minutes, Brother James?
16.
16. We want you to be ready to take down that information. Now, we have been,
Brother,
tonight,
Brother
we
Jamil,
have not
can
heard.
Can I say something right quick?
Do it real quick, brother, because we're going right back to Sister Aziza. Go right ahead, brother.
Yes, sir. And in the program that we're taught against, it's called margin in the trading world. It's called margin, and we're taught against margin. So we try not to use margin.
Okay. Yeah, I prefer to use real butter myself. You know, I really
yes, sir.
And so Sister Queen, now you have been uncharacteristically quiet on the subject tonight. I know that your pen is writing furiously the notes that you're taking for your own need, but we don't want to go any further in the conversation until we acknowledge the brilliance and Sister that control board. I'm not kidding about it. Our sister is a professional woman. She's educated. She knows a multiplicity of information about a plethora of subjects. And I want to make sure that if you have a question, sister, we benefit from the result of that question. Anything on your mind for our traders tonight? This is a great, great show.
No, not really. Not questions that I want to ask because I've listened to Brother Torrence and Brother Vernon for a long time. But what I want to ask on behalf of many people who may have questions, is this an alternative, in your opinion, to actually working on a job? And the reason why I ask that question, because when we look at the shrinking job market today, and we have people who may be getting laid off. We have people who may be retiring. And as we think about retirement, when people get that, you know, that little nest egg or, you know, that little hunk of change before they start the distribution of retirement checks or whatever, would it be wise for them to possibly start trading versus investing? And in that way, that revenue could be created to, to create generational jobs, since the children who are graduating from higher institutions of learning and even trade schools are not able to find work.
Certainly and absolutely, this is, for some people, a career. There are people who sit over billions of dollars that are traders. It's their career. Hedge fund managers, that's all a hedge fund manager is, a trader who's in charge of a whole firm outfit that does nothing but trading. Now, I'll differentiate in terms of the terms that some people may be familiar with. You know, a lot of people have been hearing in recent years about day traders. That's people who have left their job or whatever, you know, however they were able to do it. All they do is sit in front of a computer all day and watch the daily transactions and do that. That is not what we advocate, and that's not the kind of traders that we have learned to become. We're long-term systems traders. We've learned that there are people who, as I said, sit on these hedge funds and billions of dollars that our pensions and some of our 401ks and retirement plans are sunk into that don't know what they're doing. They just happen to be in control of billions. So it's best to educate yourself. It's best to learn, educate yourself, and then you possibly could take advantage of that big field that's awaiting the wide-awake man and woman to work out in.
Excellent point. Thank you so much, Brother Vernon. Sister Queen, I want to go back to the chat room. I understand there's some international communicants in the chat room, some from other countries. We want to get to them. And we also want to keep our promise in just a moment. We're going to come back and talk a little bit about the domestic effect of whether they're profitable or not. And Brother Vernon's singing aside from that, you know, because he was singing. But we do want to talk about, you know, no romance without finance. Let's go to the chat room or the phone, whichever you choose. But let's take one of our international callers or chat room participants.
Okay, well, we have Brother Leo, who is from Juarez, and he wants to know, how old do you have to be in order to become a trader?
Juarez in Mexico. Thank you, Brother Leo, for your question. Which of you would like to address that, Brother Torrance or Brother Vernon?
Well, you can start off with your children. As long as they can understand basic math, they can become a trader. And matter of fact, I'm gonna be training our children as well, my wife's and our children. Matter of fact, my wife, she's also a trader. We did the class at the same time. So that's what I wait till we get to the three things. But as soon as they can do basic math, division and multiplication, they can start. It's no real certain limit. You can start at 2 and 3 years old with giving them concepts of the profession, mm-hmm. of what it is. You start them from the cradle to learn, mm-hmm. and then when they get there, they already have it.
Well, there you have it. The family that would trade together is the family that have stayed together. All right, now.
That's right.
I like it.
I just want to give a special shout out to Brother Leo, because what y'all don't know is that Brother Leo is 17 years old. He lives in Juarez, Mexico. And on days when he can, he actually gets the young people in the community where he lives, and he lets them come into his house and listen to the computer, and they actually listen to this show. And he's on whenever he can be, and for him to be 17 and not looking at BET or MTV or whatever is out there, he actually listens to the show. That's my little brother. So original salute, Brother Leo. I know your house is full, so I just wanted to give him a special shout out.
All right, Brother Leo, and to the whole family, everybody that's there, greetings to all of you. Sister, let's go back in that chat room one more time. What do you have next in the
Toronto, Brother Bertrand, he just wants to know, could we repeat the information of how to reach Steve Fox if you wanted to become a trader?
They can hit us up as well. They can reach us on Facebook, and we can get them directly in touch with who they need to get in touch with. So they can reach out to Brother Vernon or myself, and we'll make it happen.
All right.
Okay.
Just stacking these dishes
okay,
over there. Everything always. All right. Mm-hmm. Now,
you want to take some more questions now?
Well, I want to focus on something. I know that the questions are there. We're going to be as brief as we can. This happens to us every week. There's always scores of folks on the phone and in the chat room. We do not mean not to get to you, but we need to let our guests expound on these questions. And I want to ask one. I'm going to use the prerogative of the host's chair to ask this question about the song that we played, tongue-in-cheek, the Gwen Guthrie piece, No Romance Without Finance. But let me ask you, brothers, have you noticed an improvement in the quality of the domestic life of brothers and sisters who involve themselves in progressive financial activity? Or is it just as dangerous to be rich as it is to be broke to your marriage? Tell us a little bit about that.
Vernon, you want to take that first or what?
I'll get in here real quick. Being empowered is always better than not being empowered. You know, Biggie came out with a song. He didn't even come out with the statement, but he repeated it, more money, more problems. I would rather have the problems of having more money than have the problems of not having enough money and financial stress and strain and all that comes along with that. So whenever a couple anyone in the household can empower themselves and better themselves, and I got a feeling that it's a lot easier to handle what you know life is going to throw at you anyway.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Very, very good. Brother Torres, anything you wanted to add on that?
Yes, sir. My wife and I, we've been in business together in some sort since we met. So she's in real estate. I brought her into real estate. We've done multi-level marketing. I introduced her to the trading. So we've always worked as a team. So it's for me, I haven't made mega bucks, but we've done well over the years. We've had our ups and downs in business, as you know, that's just a cycle of business. So mm-hmm. it's, to me, it's better to have your spouse involved in what you are doing, because that knowledge, you can bounce off the ideas. She know you, you know her. Y'all complement each other. And so for me, it's always better to involve your spouse to get another opinion, a second thought on something that you think you're doing right, but you know you may have missed out or you didn't see this coming, and that's your second self. So she can chime in and bring some balance into that business. So of course you've always, most people want to have money with problems than having problems without no money. Because having problems without no money, it creates more problems.
There you go. And that, to me, is a very essential element of what we're talking about here tonight. Imagine how Minister Farrakhan referred to it in the study guide material that we referenced on this Friday night cast. Throughout the nation, the same study guide. The minister talked from his writing at the beginning of the study guide about the hellish, he used the word hellish, if you all remember.
That's right.
The hellish condition of our families, communities, and our nation is directly related to the hellish condition of our families and the marriages. Mm-hmm. And those marriages are hellish condition because our thoughts are from beneath and God's thoughts are from above. And his way is not our way, and we are not like he. We're not like he is. And so we need to make sure that we can focus on rising above the emotion that occurs when you're broke and into the thinking of God that occurs to keep you from being broke. And those are very, very key and important points. Now, we're in the home stretch. As Brother Minister Abdul Rahman used to say, we're hitting that 18th pole and about to put her under the whip and bring her through the tape. That means we're in horse racing language, we're coming around that 18th pole. And as we prepare to get the information from brothers about what it is that we, the three things that we can do, I want to make sure we give you a contact information because promptly at 8:25, we're going to go to our closing theme music, which is something very, very important to me, and I want you all to listen to it tonight. We're going to close the show with Nat King Cole's version of Stardust. Stardust is an old Hoagy Carmichael standard, but it was and is the favorite tune of the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad. Those who were with him in the palace say that when it would come on, he would stop, pause what he was doing, and listen to it because he loved to hear Nat King Cole do that particular song so well. So we're going to end our show tonight and every week with the favorite of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. So we want to make sure we get all the information we can in. Sister Queen, do we need to go back to the control board now and grab something from the chat room or the phones, or can we go back to the panelists? Because I do have some good interaction either way we go.
Yes. We have a question from LaToya, and she wants to know, how does this differ from E-Trade? And can you have trader groups?
Well, that is a very important question. It came from somebody. Ooh, it came from LaToya. We got to answer that question. Let's answer that right away.
No doubt.
Let me mute my phone.
Go right ahead, brothers, because the question was, what is the difference between what you're talking about tonight and E-Trade? And are there traders groups? Very key question, beautifully put. Go right ahead.
All right. To start with the back end of the question first, yes, there are trader groups. The Black Trading Gods is just that. We are a group of individuals who have learned this system and have come together in an organized fashion to move as a team and not move alone. So it would be wise and it would be very beneficial to get with a group of like-minded individuals to do this. E-Trade or something like that is just the platform that trading is, that transactions take place in. Okay, so if the difference would be trading in plumbing pipes
and going to Home Depot to buy plumbing pipes. E-Trade would be the equivalent of Home Depot where you go to buy the plumbing pipes. The trades that we do, options, commodities that you would buy or that you would sell, those are done through a platform like E-Trade.
Okay. All right. Very good. And I appreciate that. That gives us a clear balance on where we are. The time now is 8:19 Central Time, 9:19 on the East Coast, 7:19 out west in the western region. And like we always try to put in there for Brother Herman and all the brothers, Brother Julius and everybody out in Denver, the time there now is 20 minutes after 7, and I said 6:19 out west. But family, what we want to do now, I want to start winding up. I want to go first to Brother Vernon and then to Brother Torrance. I need you to give us 3 points that we all need to do, and then I want to hear from each of you your contact information, and each of you has 2 minutes to give us that information. So we're all ears. Brother Vernon, go right ahead. What are the 3 points?
You're going to start with me. All right. Real quick. First thing to do is begin to learn, okay? You get on Google and type in personal financial literacy. And everything you can learn about balancing a checkbook, budgeting, home economics, look up all those terms and anything regarding those subjects. Make that your passion, okay? Learn as much as you can. Find as many groups and as many other blogs and writers about that until you start seeing what everybody's saying the same and the difference in what everybody is saying. And then find
that's
what works
one.
For you.
Second
thing is, find the things that you absolutely must purchase. For example, most men wear socks. There's some who don't, but just about every one of us wear socks, and when you get a little hole, you're going to buy another pair of socks. Identify the things that you need, and you and your friends and the people who are like-minded, everybody pick one and become the supplier of that one thing to the rest of the group. Be that one and all commit to only buying what you absolutely need to purchase and you know that you're going to purchase from somebody else in that group. That's our legitimate hustle that we all have to have.